this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. How many times have you had that said to you when you were a child? Here's a better question. How many times have you said that to a child or a grandchild? How, this is going to hurt me more than you, that it's going to hurt me. If you're familiar with the movie A Christmas Story, it's this fun little Christmas holiday. It's become a classic. It's all about Ralphie growing up. And in the movie, the mom says this to Ralphie. He did something wrong. And she says, this is going to hurt you more than it's going to hurt me. And we hear Ralphie's thoughts at that moment. And Ralphie says, yeah, sure, parents say that, but they don't really mean it. See, the point is, we don't like discipline. We don't like to be disciplined. Discipline has the connotation of being bad to us. I recall that my dear sainted mother, who was a devout Christian later in her life, she was so sweet, southern gal and all that, but I testify here in front of God's church, that woman was a terror with the belt when I was a kid. Not that I ever did anything wrong, but I observed this. But, you know, you learn as you grow up that discipline usually follows when we mess up, right? In fact, when we mess up or when we are just a mess, discipline often follows. And most often it comes from someone who actually cares about us. We spent a lot of time on the church in Corinth, and we went through that book. And boy, the church in Corinth was a mess, if you recall. They were lost. They were messed up. They had wandered off the track. In fact, by way of remembering this, I went through and I just did a little tabulation. I think you could see most of that up there. I counted at least 12 different problems that the church in Corinth had. They had partisanship. Remember, I follow this guy and you follow that guy? That was a problem. There was incest going on. There was lawsuits going on. He talked about celibacy within marriage. He talked about Christians married to one another asking about divorce. He talked to Christians who were married to pagans asking about divorce. There were questions surrounding marriage and remarriage. There was questions about idolatry. There were concerns about women praying and prophesying in immodest ways. There was chaos in worship with speaking in tongues and competing voices. There was inequality in the communal meal. There was even denials of the bodily resurrection of Christ. Now, as we went through the book of Corinthians, Paul brought some tough love to these people, right? He didn't pull any punches. He called them on their stuff. But why? Well, he brought some tough love to these wayward believers because he loved them. He loved them. His efforts were all coming from the same place. He loved the Corinthian church, even though they were straying from his teachings. How do we know that? Well, you know, he tells them. Look at this. I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. Do you get the sense of that? After he's sort of berated them for 3 chapters and the first part of 4, he says, look, I'm not doing this to shame you and to make you feel bad, but to admonish you as my beloved children. Can you see this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you? But a little further on in the same chapter, he says, what do you wish? Shall I come to you with a rod or with love and a spirit of gentleness? Paul's trying to communicate to them that even in the context of this corrective letter where he's going through this long laundry list, and by the way, I picked 12, there were more. But he loved this church enough to correct them. And that's the thing. God's discipline is kind of a strange thing. Things happen to us and we're kind of wondering, you know, I thought God was all about love. Well, not only is God all about love, God is love. And yet, when we mess up, things happen to us, do they not? And if we're honest, most of the time, the stuff that happens to us is because we did not follow him in the way that he's told us to follow him. And discipline follows from that. So today what we want to do is try to dig into this issue of God's discipline and try to get a better handle on it. And here's why. The Corinthian church, if you could see from what I've said, the Corinthian church was a mess. But Paul loved them enough to do the hard work to discipline them. In 2 weeks, we're going to start on the book of Philippians. You're going to see that the book of Philippians, the Philippi church, was a church that was, for the most part, doing it right. They were a pretty much a loving church that was walking in the way. This was a church that Paul really loved. So in the book of Corinthians, you see discipline out of love. And you see, and in the book of Philippians, what you're going to see is support and love and encouragement in a church that was on the right path. But today we're going to talk about discipline. So maybe you're thinking, I'd like to be a disciplined believer, but I try for a while and then I fall away. Anybody relate to that? You don't have to answer, because I know it's true. I fall back in my old ways. So what's the key to becoming disciplined? What's the key? First, it's understanding that God disciplines us either directly or through his chosen teachers because he loves us enough to help us grow in Christ-likeness. He loves us enough to either directly discipline us, or he'll bring somebody into your life. Let's put it in modern terminology. He'll bring somebody into your life who will call you on your stuff. Do you understand what I mean? In the story of David, David has this affair with Bathsheba, and later on, he thinks nobody knows about that, and the prophet Nathan comes in, and he says to David, he says, you know, David, somebody in your kingdom has done a terrible thing. He's taken another man's wife, and he arranged to have that guy killed. King David, what should we do about that? King David says, by golly, we should punish that man. He should be arrested. He should be given the rod. And the prophet Nathan says, David, that man is you. You're the man who took the other man's wife. So talk about being pulled up short. So sometimes God will discipline us directly. Sometimes he'll bring somebody into your life. Why? Because he loves us. Because he loves us. Open your Bibles if you have them with you, and let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to go through just the first 11 verses, and we'll kind of tease out how this whole discipline thing works. So as we begin this, in the first couple of verses, it says, consider him who endured from sinners in such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Now listen, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. So what's the message here? In other words, don't stop. Keep on resisting to the point of blood until the day you die. Don't blame it on others. I know I wasn't supposed to do that, Lord, but circumstances. I know, you know what, Lord, I knew I should have stopped doing that, but the temptation. I knew, Lord, and we always put the but in there. I know I shouldn't have gone to that place, but it really wasn't my fault. It was this other person that got me to go there. Don't do that. Don't blame it on other people. We really haven't struggled to the point of death. We are American Christians. We are Western culture Christians. You have no idea what it means to struggle for your faith. If you've lived in another country, if you've lived particularly in a third world countries and places like that, you will understand this concept of resisting temptation. You are persecuted for your faith. The fact that you are a Christian can get you killed in the country of Turkey. So you have not yet persevered to the point of shedding your blood. So if things are going on with you, if discipline is coming to you, don't give up. You know, before we go any further, let's pray, because this is a difficult message for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us enough, to caring about us enough to try to keep us on the straight and narrow. Father, send your Holy Spirit to enable us to do that which we need to do. Stand by us, comfort us, strengthen us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So don't let your guard down. Resist. It says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So, but what's implied there is that discipline is going to come to you in your life, and you may not recognize it as discipline. Maybe you haven't been as faithful as you should be in your walk with the Lord. So maybe it isn't an actual transgression. It's a lack of. Do you know the great commandment? The great commandment says you are to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're going to cover that in Transforming Habits. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That means everything. Love the Lord more than anything. You should be waiting for somebody to open the front door on Sunday morning, metaphorically speaking. Because I get to come and worship. That's loving the Lord with all your heart. When we sing the worship songs, your spirit needs to be involved in those songs. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, that's why I always tell you, listen to what you're praying. Your heart needs to be in it. Love the Lord with all your spirit. Love the Lord with all your mind. We are told to understand the Word of God. We are told by implication to study the Word of God.